Isaiah chapter 61 is where we'll begin this morning. And the book of Isaiah chapter 61 is one of, if not, my favorite passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. It's a passage of Scripture that I have preached on a number of times. But each time I've preached on it, I've looked at it from the New Testament point of view, where Jesus quotes it in the Gospel of Luke when he's teaching in the temple. And I've never actually looked at it from the perspective we're going to look at it this morning. Isaiah 61, of course, is the prophecy of Israel in the millennium, and it continues here on from chapter 60, but now, here in chapter 61, the focus now shifts to the Messiah and his wonderful working in their midst and in the middle of them. And here in our text that we're going to read this morning, we find the passage that Jesus himself would quote from when he spoke in a synagogue in Nazareth, and he applied this scripture here in Isaiah chapter 61 to himself in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. You're there in Isaiah 61. Notice, if you would, beginning at verse number 1 down through verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse number 1 down through verse number 3. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Here in verse number 1, we see the reason for our Lord's coming, and we see the job that he has given to each one of us as followers of him, as children of him, as Christians who claim the name of Christ. We see here the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to, as the Bible says, to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Folks, this morning, make no mistake, there are people in this world today that they are brokenhearted. Make no mistake, there are people in this world today, they are captives to sin. They are slaves to sin. They are in the prison of sin, and sin has them bound, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to set them free. And he has given unto us the mission to go and to preach this very same message so that they themselves might find freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. The background of this passage, and you can turn over there if you would, Leviticus chapter 25. The background of Isaiah 61 is something that we refer to as the year of Jubilee. Now, if you've ever taken the time to study Leviticus chapter 23, you would have noticed that the Jewish calendar is based on a series of sevens. There were seven annual feasts, three of them in the seventh month, and the seventh day of the week, of course, what we know as the Sabbath or the day of rest. And now here we learn that the seventh year was to be a year of rest for the land, for the people, and their animals. And it was during the Sabbath year, the people were not to work the fields or have any organized harvests whatsoever. But they were to take from the fields the food they needed as it grew of itself. The people, including the poor and the aliens, could gather from the fields and be God's guests. Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says, "And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed." And so not only did the land rest, but the people and the farm animals rested. I saw something here recently, a joke that said, "My dog, who has no bills, who is in himself a bill, has just huffed 6 times in the span of 10 minutes. Because dogs, they have it rough, don't they? I mean, how many of you had a dog or have had a dog? How many can remember your dog just laying there and they just start huffing? Like their life is so tough that they have reason to huff. And now here in the Bible we have a command that the animals in that seventh year should rest. Well, I don't know about your dog, but if our dog rested anymore, he'd be dead. I mean, that's how much he rests. It's said that, you know, a dog sleeps about 14 hours a day. And I mean, that's a pretty long time to sleep, 14 hours a day. But here, the land was to rest, the people were to rest, and the farm animals were to rest. Now, the men certainly took care, you know, of the routine tasks that would keep buildings from falling down. But they were not to engage in the normal activities of an agricultural society. You think of like plowing and sowing and harvesting. They weren't to do that. It was prohibited. And this prohibition also included the servants and the animals, all of whom were given a year of rest from their normal duties. Deuteronomy chapter 15 informs us that personal debts were also remitted during the Sabbath year, and that indentured servants were set free. Deuteronomy chapter 11, or chapter 15, and verse 1, the Bible says, "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release." That word "release" means to let loose, to drop. It involves the canceling of debts and the freeing of slaves. And as the people shared with the poor and with their liberated servants, they were to be generous. They were to be open-handed and open-hearted. And we find three motives were to govern what people did. Number one, appreciation for God's blessings. Appreciation for God's blessing. Leviticus 25 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord, that thou shalt neither sow thy field nor pursue thy vineyard. Leviticus 25 and verse 6. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant, and for thy maid and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And Leviticus 25 and verse 14, the Bible says, And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. So the very first motive was appreciation for God's blessings. And by the way, this morning, you and I ought to always appreciate God's blessings on our life. God has been abundantly good to us. God has been abundantly kind to us. And He has given us blessings beyond measure. And we ought to be appreciative of those blessings given to us by God. But not only that, the second motive, of course, was appreciation for God's deliverance of the nation of Israel from Egypt. Leviticus 25 and verse 15. The Bible says, according to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. And so what God commanded was for the good of not just one person or a certain group of people, but what God commanded was for the good of all people. And nobody had the right to disobey him. Of course, we know it was during the siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, King Zedekiah proclaimed a release for the slaves, but then he would later rescind that order. He would later rescind that decree. Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 through 11, the Bible says, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being in Hebrew or in Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his manservant and every one his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return, and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. And so here's the basic idea and the basic process in what is happening in Leviticus 25. Every 7 years, the Jews were to observe a sabbatical year. They were to allow the land to rest. And then after seven sabbaticals, or 49 years, they were to celebrate the 50th year in what was known as the year of Jubilee. And it was during that year that all debts were canceled. All land was returned to the original owners. The slaves were set free. And everybody was given a fresh new beginning. Everybody was given a fresh new start. This was the Lord's way of balancing the economy. This was the Lord's way of keeping the rich at the time from exploiting the poor. But here's the sad reality of all this. We have no biblical evidence. Nowhere in the Bible does it record for us that the Jews ever celebrated the Sabbath year. Nowhere does it ever tell us they celebrated the year of Jubilee. In fact, the Bible indicates, by all accounts, that they never celebrated the year of Jubilee. 2 Chronicles 36:21, the Bible says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah unto the land, had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And so God sent Israel in the Babylonian exile for 70 years in order to give the land the rest that it needed. This suggests for us that for nearly 500 years, the Jews had disobeyed God's law concerning the Sabbath year. Jeremiah 29:10, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And I say, Pastor, that's all well and good, but what does it have to do with us this morning? Well, it starts out with a very basic principle. And that is this: whatever we rob from God, we can never keep and enjoy ourselves. There's been a number of times in our ministry that we've met people who they've robbed God in their time, in their talents, in their treasures, only to end up paying for it later on down the road. And here, by disobeying the law of the Sabbath year, the Jewish people, they were robbing themselves not only of spiritual blessings, but also of the strength of the land and of their servants and farm animals. By working the same land year after year, yes, they got their harvests, but they lost the renewal that comes from allowing the land to lie fallow and the workers to rest. Yes, they got their harvest, but they also lost the blessings that come with sharing with the needy, and they robbed God of the glory that he would have received as the other nations saw just how much he blessed his people. It was a very costly mistake on their part, and they would pay for it very dearly. Look there, if you would, Leviticus chapter 25. And from verses 8 through 17, you'll find that word Jubilee used 5 times in verses 8 through 17. That word Jubilee literally means to sound the trumpet. The Hebrew word is Yobel, which means a ram's horn. And so for the people of Israel, each new year opened with the blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the 7th month. 1 and 10 days later, the people would then celebrate the Day of Atonement by fasting, repenting, and offering the required sacrifices. But every 50th year, at the close of the celebration of the Day of Atonement, the horns were blown again to announce that the year of Jubilee had begun. Now, I want you to understand something this morning about this, because it would require a great deal of faith for the people to celebrate this special year. Because think about it. The previous year, the 49th year, would have been a Sabbath year when the fields, the vineyards, the orchards, they would not have been cultivated. They would not have been tended to. And so the Jews had to trust God to provide for them in the 49th year, the 50th year, and also during the 51st year while they waited for the harvest. Now listen this morning, we know that God never fails us. We know that God never lets us down. And we know that if He calls us to a period of just, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to take care of you in this span of time, then He's going to do just that. God never lets us down. God never fails us. We know that. And they knew that. But at the same time, their faith might have failed. Their faith might have slipped. Listen this morning, how many times have you and I, God has showed us something in His Word, and God has said, trust me, and we know we can trust Him, but then we let worry creep in. We let doubt creep in. We let our faith begin to falter and to fail. And we begin to ask questions, well, what if God really doesn't mean it? Or what if God really doesn't take care of me like He said He would? And our faith begins to fail. And again here, there's no evidence in Scripture that the nation of Israel ever celebrated the year of Jubilee. They never knew what it was like to fully and wholly rely upon the Lord, to rely upon God. There are several elements this morning that are included in the year of Jubilee there in Leviticus 25. Number one, there's repentance. Number one, there's repentance. Notice there, Leviticus 25 and verse number 9. The Bible says, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. You know, it's significant that the year of Jubilee started with the Day of Atonement, a day when the Jews were commanded to afflict themselves and repent of their sins. They were not to enter the year of Jubilee without the Lord first cleansing and forgiving them. If their hearts weren't right with God, they could never release their slaves or return the land to its original owners. And you know, this morning the truth remains that our relationship with God determines how we treat other people. And so we see there's a repentance at the year of Jubilee. Secondly, there's a release. There's a release. Notice there, Leviticus 25, verses 10 and 13. The Bible says, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And he shall return every man unto his family. Verse 13, in the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. On the Liberty Bell, there's an inscription on the Liberty Bell that tells us to proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And that bell hangs at Independence Hall there in Philadelphia. At the start of the year of Jubilee, the people were commanded to release their indentured servants so that they might return to their own lands and families. A Hebrew servant was to serve for only 6 years and then be set free. The question then becomes, well, then how could the Jews celebrate this special year if some of their people were in bondage and separated from their loved ones and their lands? There had to be a release. The slaves, the indentured servants, had to be let go. Exodus 21:2, the Bible says, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And so we see there had to be repentance. There had to be release. Then thirdly this morning, we see there has to be rest. There has to be rest. Notice there, if you would, verses 11 and 12. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And so we see here that during the year of jubilee, the people, they were forbidden to carry on their normal agricultural pursuits. But they had to live on whatever the land produced. This gave both them and the land an extra year of rest, since the previous year would have been a Sabbath year. And so they had to rely on the Lord to keep His promises and supply sufficient food for almost 3 years. Could we do the same thing? I mean, the weather report comes on and says we're going to get an inch of snow, and the grocery store runs out of bread, egg, and milk. Because we don't trust. But what if the Lord said to trust me for 3 years, and I'll provide you every need, I'll take care of you? Could we be able to do that? They couldn't work the land until the 51st year, and even then, they'd have to wait for the harvest. And then fourthly and finally, there would be a restoration. There would be a restoration. Notice here, if you would, verses 13 through 17. Leviticus 25, verses 13 through 17. The Bible says, in the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits ye shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. There was to then be a restoration. In the year of jubilee. And so there in Isaiah 61, the prophet Isaiah saw in the year of jubilee a picture of the promised messianic kingdom, when the Lord will release his people and restore them to their land and bless them abundantly. Go back there, if you would, Isaiah 61. Because I want you to notice something. Isaiah 61. And notice verse 2. We saw why Jesus came in verse 1. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Here we see Jesus, he would preach this same passage at the synagogue in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. He'd apply it to the acceptable year of the Lord. But there in Luke chapter 4, he stopped reading at the acceptable year of the Lord. He would not read the part about the day of vengeance of our God. This present acceptable year of God's grace is separated from the future day of judgment by a comma. That's the only thing separating grace from judgment. A comma. And only God could do that. God's wonderful day of salvation has lasted as long as it has because God is long-suffering and He wants sinners to come to repentance. And so here's how it all comes together. Here's how it all ties together. Like the announcement of the year of Jubilee, the gospel is good news to the poor because their debts have been paid and are completely forgiven. And all they need to do is receive Christ as their Savior and rejoice in a new beginning. You see, just as the debtors and slaves were set free to enjoy Jubilee, so too are sinners set free when they trust the Lord to save them. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is a Jubilee experience because it restores broken families, it restores lost blessings, and it brings times of refreshing from the Lord. This morning, if you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you are living today in a spiritual year of Jubilee. Behold, all things are passed away. All things become new. You have been set free from bondage. Your spiritual debt to the Lord has been paid. And you are living in the acceptable year of the Lord. And instead of the ashes of mourning, you have a crown on your head. For He has made you a king. And you have been anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And you wear a garment of righteousness. And so this morning, while there's no indication that the Jewish people ever themselves celebrated the year of Jubilee, this morning you can say you celebrated the year of Jubilee if you know Christ as your Savior. You're here this morning, you say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Good news. You can celebrate the year of Jubilee too by accepting Christ as your Savior today before you leave this church. Knowing 100% sure that Christ is your Savior and that heaven's your home. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.